Hey everybody, it's Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
I just have to tell you, I'm fresh off a plane from Berlin.
You look good because I got an email from Jen last night, like 12:30 or something crazy. I was sound asleep. And you said, I'll see you at work tomorrow. By the time you got home, must have been like 2:30 or something.
I know. And then literally all I did, this is why I'm feeling a little weird. I went and then I didn't know what to eat because you know when you're like, your meal times are off?
Oh, yeah.
So I had deviled eggs and a glass of white
wine. That's disgusting. I'm not about like a deviled egg.
Let me tell you, it was the wrong decision.
That is so gross.
on my like gassy, like plain
sulfur.
Belly.
Sulfur. You had like sulfur.
I was like, let me just eat these deviled eggs.
But first of all, where the hell did you find a deviled egg? That's like party food. You don't make that for yourself.
Between appointments to come here and cook shop was on the way.
I thought that it was like at home. You got home, you threw your luggage down.
No. I looked at a menu and made this choice.
That's disgusting.
It was a poor decision.
Slippery, farty smelling, nasty.
And everybody knows Jess's theory about plane gas. It's all, what's it caused by, Jess?
Plastic cutlery. You're ingesting.
Not the compression of the air, not the change in altitude.
No, it's the horrible processed food that you're eating.
And sporks.
And then, and then the compression.
And the belt.
I was about to say, and you're all stuffed in there. Okay, we're not talking about business, ladies and gentlemen. Okay?
Let's get into the beauty stuff.
All right. So
if I feel weird throughout the podcast, that's why.
All right.
All right. What are we going to talk about? Beautiful, beautiful things.
We've got a lot of beauty news this week. We've got big news coming from MAC Cosmetics. We haven't heard a big announcement from them in a while, so this is exciting. Then inside the world of Instagram dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And then beauty's no-buy movement.
Which is confusing, but also a thing.
It's totally a thing, and I'm obsessed with this topic.
I can't wait to talk about it. And our guest is Chris Appleton, the hairstylist to, everyone. I can't even list his clients. They're amazing.
Kim K is a big one.
Yeah. He works with Color Wow. Mm-hmm. So I happened to interview him. I was just like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. You were out of town. And it was the only time he could do. And literally, he was like texting with a Kardashian on his way in. But he made time for Fat Mascara. And we have a great interview for you.
Awesome. Can't wait to listen.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Big, big breaking news. Well, last week, so in case you haven't heard it.
I mean, we're a podcast. We're up to date to a point.
To a point. Okay, so MAC finally has a new global creative director. For beauty insiders or MAC aficionados, you may know that James Gager was their big guy, their creative director for a really long time. And then he left, and I believe, in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Their new creative director, global creative director, is not from the beauty world.
Who is it, Jess?
His name is Drew Elliott, and he is the editor-in-chief, or right today, he's probably not, of Paper Magazine.
Which has, like, some of my favorite covers of all time.
Hit me.
Christina Aguilera with, like, barely any makeup, freckles showing, close crop on her face.
So good.
So good.
He also did, probably most famous for, the Kim Kardashian Break the Internet cover. Mm-hmm. Remember with the champagne bottle on her ass? She was all oiled up.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I think, you know, he's
creative.
That was the moment that I think broke him. He also did some really funny stuff with the Jonas Brothers and why am I spacing? Miley Cyrus.
You're spacing because you're pregnant.
I know. I'm like, where am I?
You get a pass. I am so excited about this news, though, because I feel like MAC's gotten, this is going to sound weird, but like the shaft a little, because a lot of the charities that they've worked with and the concepts they came up with and the inclusivity of the brands, like, they did these things before a lot of other brands did, and I felt like they kind of sort of just like were faltering as all these other direct-to-consumer brands came out and weren't getting credit for like really being revolutionary in their own right.
Absolutely, yeah. They were the first. They did Viva Glam. They were like charitable before. Yeah, it was cool, and everyone else is doing it now. But the other thing that's interesting about this guy, Drew, is do you remember when we had John Dempsey on the show?
And but he, of course.
And if you haven't listened to that episode, please do. It really is like, it's just like a masterclass in the beauty business. But he was talking about how MAC, he was attracted to it because it was about pop culture. It wasn't necessarily a beauty brand. It was, of course, but it was about like what's hip and what's cool and like, you know, go into
the
stores.
Collabs alone. Like they like invented the collabs.
They did, yeah.
Oh my God, the Selena one, not Gomez, the original. It was so good.
Yeah, so I think to have someone that's not necessarily like, you know, another, like I'm glad they didn't take some creative director who was just from another brand or another.
Yeah, they already know how to make lipstick and powder. And like, you know, they have great formulas in the Estee Lauder brands of, you know, all the different brands they have.
Yeah, this is really more about like what's cool right now. And I think I don't really know a brand who acts as an aggregator for that, you know, like. Every brand's kind of beating their own drum and like talking about their founder. No one's talking about what's happening in the culture in the same way that paper is.
Yeah. Or now back to MAC being.
Exactly.
I think it was an interesting decision.
Yeah. I'd love to know the backstory to that. But this is more just an FYI.
And if you see changes at the MAC store, you know who's responsible.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's bated breath. Jen, I was reading The Times the other day.
As one does, as you do.
Yes. And the style section had a great story. It was called Plastic Surgery and the Secret World of Instagram Dolls. And I wasn't quite sure what a doll was, but they had this big like holding image of Lil' Kim, who I didn't even realize was Lil' Kim. I know that she's gone down the plastic surgery hole, but I mean, she looks totally, totally fake.
I saw her recently. She opened for Christina Aguilera. And
oh,
guess
did
who
she
was behind, who was sitting behind me?
Who?
Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. It was the weirdest experience to watch Lil Kim perform while Hillary Clinton is sitting behind you.
Oh, I wonder if she's a fan of hardcore.
Maybe. I think they were there for Christina. So. Either way, she is somebody who is proud of her plastic surgery. She's like living a look.
Well, she calls herself a black Barbie dressed in Bulgari. I don't know if you know that.
I did know that.
But she's very doll-like. And the dolls that are very much kind of like Lil' Kim, they're cosmetic surgery patients who are out and proud, but so out and proud that they document their desires, their experiences, all of that on Instagram. And it's for the benefit of other, it's not like for their friends and fam. It's for other prospective clients and other patients who are going through the same thing. So
almost like a journal of all the work they've gotten done.
Exactly.
And then even inspiration shots of the work they want to get done, if I'm correct about what a doll is.
And there's like a little
Wait, no, the doll is the person who's had all the work from a particular doctor, right?
Right. So you might be like, let's say you're really into I know you love Dr. Waldorf. I'm not suggesting to do this, but like Dr. Waldorf Doll would be your handle.
Oh, yeah, because so she's done like, all my work. Right. Okay, but it's not really for cosmetics, injectables. It's more for surgery, too.
No, it's injectables, too.
Oh, okay,
surgery
Heidi
too.
Waldorf, I'm your doll.
It's mostly about cosmetic surgery, you're right. But the doll pages are kind of like inspiration boards and mood boards. And a lot of them have under this thing called an SX page. I think it seems stupid. I don't understand why it's called SX, but it's like a riff on RX.
Mm-hmm. It's as just, in prescription.
It's, yeah, it's too, yeah, it's too
surgery
stupid and complicated.
X. Yeah, well, internet lingo, so.
I can barely keep up. But the thing that I found weird about it is that it's so, to me, like unaspirational, but I think that's kind of the point. They want to show you like, okay, my boobs are leaking on day 4 or, you know, this doctor like F me. You know, it's like this educational system that exists on Instagram about surgery. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. Well, actually, I am sure. I'm not comfortable
with
it.
Yeah, this is not the album of photos that would be sitting in the doctor's office. This is the real deal. The thing that I thought about when you sent me that link was where I usually look is like Real Self and those kind of forums, but those are moderated and people pay money to have ads on there, mm-hmm, and you're not getting an unfiltered experience. And I just think it's just fascinating how Instagram has been co-opted for so many different, not only businesses, but ways to find information. Like,
completely.
How would you even, like, who would you, where would you, probably on Reddit somewhere you could find all this, but now with this hashtag and this whole movement, you can sort of see it for yourself. And
it's,
I think,
funny you mentioned
I wasn't
Reddit.
Even going to get into the fact that some of the work is a little bit much for me.
So a lot of the work, it's not your, you know, Upper East Side, Dr. Jacono, like Park Avenue work. It's usually more aggressive procedures. Mm-hmm. And often I was just looking for it. I can't find it right now, but I saw this great example of somebody saying what you need to know before you have surgery abroad. A, not super comfortable with surgery abroad. Why are we going abroad? And two, it was like, you need to bring like these kind of pills, this kind of like, you know, this massager, like all, it's basically like DIY. You're assuming the responsibility of the surgeon.
Yeah, but
really.
I also think we can't assume that the American medical community gives the best surgery and has the best prices and all that. If you're going to do your research, there's a place to start. But seriously, it's surgery. Do your research.
Well, funny you say that. The American College of Surgeons in May actually put out guidelines because they know all this crazy social media, like crowdsourcing crap is happening. And they weren't just slapping the wrists of the patients, they were kind of, I don't say slapping the wrist, but giving a little bit of a warning to the doctors. And one of the things I loved from it was talking about how it's called patient education. This little section talks about how social media can be a valuable tool. And I hope that, you know, that's how I feel. I do think that, you know, sharing stories is interesting. But they said, tweets do not constitute health advice. And
it's
like,
a
this
good
is
reminder.
Not right.
And I can't believe we have to remind people.
No,
but
it's true. And then also, I'm a little, like, I know I'm kind of veering off topic here, but I'm a little uncomfortable with how many doctors are so comfortable with using Instagram as an educational tool for, you know, prospective clients.
Meanwhile, when we go to these events with these doctors, literally there's a lawyer sitting in the room if we're talking about a prescription or surgery or whatever, making sure that they don't veer off of exactly what the guidelines are for that particular drug and how it's used and whatever. And then you turn around and on social media, also I love that they said tweets.
Yeah.
Like they didn't know that, like,
it's in quotes, but they're just saying, like,
and also
you can't,
Instagram captions and blogs and Reddit and all that stuff, that it's not vetted the way things are when they go through the official channels.
Right. And there are some doctors, I'm not knocking doctors who have Instagram accounts. I think that this is the world we live in, and I think you can find great information. I follow a lot of doctors, but there are some that I feel like have jumped into this online conversation a little too enthusiastically. I'll tell you the truth, shall remain nameless, but a doctor once, after, you know, we had a session, like, just started snapping away, taking photos of me. And I was like, ooh, I'm not really comfortable. Is this for social media? And they said yes. And, you know.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I think
I get photos after everything I do, but they keep it as like a history to see where
I don't mean the medical photos. I think
they weren't private. They were like, social media, let's take a selfie.
Yeah. And in the guidelines, and we can link to it, it's interesting. They say, like, you need to have written permission. You know, this is no joke. So I think as consumers are getting a little bit more casual about procedures, I think some doctors are too. Yeah. Again, that's not a blanket statement, just some.
Yeah. So dolls are out there to like start your learning process.
I think just for amusement. Yeah, I think the dolls.
Purely for entertainment.
Yeah. Have a look. We'll link to a couple of dolls. It's a wild world. And if you go to the doctor and they want to take pictures for their social, really think about it. Make sure there's something that you can sign.
So I met with Zoe Foster Blake the other day. She's the creator behind Grow2Skincare, these really cute kid products. She's also just like an OG beauty blogger when we still called them bloggers. And we were talking about some of the mailings we get and the product packaging that's out there. And she's really trying to simplify and as many brands are. But she said, this was funny, she said, oh, I've told my manager I don't accept unsolicited mail. Well, first I laughed because I was like, let me tell my manager.
Yeah.
I don't.
But what do they write? Like return to sender?
Yeah, apparently, because as an influencer, and this happens to beauty editors as well, you often get sent samples that you did not ask for. And many of them come in crazy, like fancy packages that you're supposed to do opening so people see it. And honestly, we do rely on a lot of these mailings to help us learn about products that we're not able to buy or weren't able to try in person. But at a certain point, if it's not just a product simply being sent, and even then there's so many, like, do I need all this excess stuff?
That slides into another thing because, you know, we could easily end up talking about the environmental aspect of all these packages for the whole time. So just like this should be under the umbrella of like, and this is absolutely, you know, horrific for the environment. But just in talking about the amount of stuff that is coming through, there are a lot of vloggers and, you know, YouTubers who are also talking about like they're just like editors. They get so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And is this like a backlash because of the environment thing, or is this kind of an anti-consumerist backlash? And how the hell does the beauty industry, how are we supposed to respond to that when I'm going to put my hand up? I work for a company that relies on beauty advertising. So,
and you and you want to try new products and tell people about ones that are good.
Right. So it's, I'm trying to figure out how to reconcile it. But like you and I have spoken about this, you know, in private, just about, it's crazy. You know, a lot of editors will show, you know, this is what came in the mail today. And like, this is a travesty. Yeah. I kind of am tempted to do that sometimes. But I also feel like, I'm just telling you how I feel, a little like, am I biting the hand that feeds me?
Yeah, well, you would be, I think, if you're doing that. I think that some of these people are also going, but they're just moving into the, what do they call it, the no-buy beauty?
Yes, the no-buy movement.
No-buy movement, which I also am like, wait, so then what do we talk about? But then I realize it's like you could trade products with your friends or use what you have in different ways. Our job doesn't go away as people who help people deal with beauty products and make themselves feel better about themselves just because we're not telling you to buy something every day.
That's true. It's like the food. It's like if you work for a food magazine, people always have to eat.
So, you got it. You know. You got it. Like, or diet. Like, you know, like yeah. There's still like, there's still ways to help people use the products they already have, write about the entrepreneurs and the founders in the business without aggressively pushing. Like, I remember when I was a junior baby editor that, like, it was always at the end, it was like, try TK products.
Yeah.
I found myself lately when I'm writing being like, look for a product with salicylic acid.
Instead
and then maybe
of,
I wouldn't say, try TK Brand's product with salicylic acid, just to be like, maybe you have something with salicylic acid already in your cabinet. I don't think I was doing it objectively, but I have felt myself moving in that vein. And maybe I'm part of that a little bit.
It's gotten to a point where, you know, 10 years ago, going back like a while, there wasn't this aggressive launch schedule where we're seeing, you know, from brands like, oh, this is our, like, you know, passion fruit collection. This is our holiday sugar plum, like, you know, sprinkle, whatever. like it's, they're getting pressure from, and we've spoken about this before, from this, like, invisible hand.
And the direct-to-consumer brands and all the different brands. I do think that's a bubble, though. And we've already seen it with color cosmetics, just to bring in some, like, statistics. Like, almost every big color cosmetics brand this year is down in sales in the last quarter. Are we in the last quarter now, if we're talking business?
Are we?
Yeah. Let's do some math real quick. And I think that might be part of this whole movement and feeling that we're seeing, which is just like a saturation and a like exhaustion of like, wait,
it's too much.
Take a pause?
It's too much. I actually, I got down to one caboodle and a bag. And a makeup bag.
At home?
Yeah.
I want to see a picture of that. Can you put it on Instagram?
Yes, I'll send you my newly edited caboodle.
I'm in a drawer and I know some beauty editors that have like a closet at home.
I was just talking about color cosmetics and not lipsticks though. Lipsticks have their own section.
Oh, well, I have to see both then.
Okay,
I've got all of it in one large desk drawer. But I'm not saying if you want to try something new, you shouldn't. But also look at all those samples in that weird basket in your cabinet. Like whenever I go to my friend's house, yeah. I'm like, what is all this stuff? We should do a swap. You know, like those kind of things. It's a new way to think about it. It's just something that we think about as beauty editors. More people are also thinking about.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So I'm here with Chris Appleton, a celebrity hairstylist. I could just list who you've worked with forever, but let's say Jennifer Lopez, Kim Kardashian, Ariana Grande, Katy Perry. You're also the global creative director for Color Wow. And this guy knows how to take photos. I remember I took a selfie with you. I looked so good in that selfie.
Really?
It's like the best picture of me, and then you're in it.
The thing is,
what's
with
the
pictures
thing?
Is it takes time to realize that you have angles and you have to get the right one.
Well, you were frustrated with me and you were like, no, girl, stand here. We need the light.
Yeah, you need the light. The lighting's important. Listen, my whole job is about like people being photographed. So you learn angles, you learn lighting. And honestly, the difference between good and bad lighting is night and day. Like it really is. So you obviously take that into your selfies. I mean, I don't take it too seriously, but getting good light really does make a difference.
All right. So no one will be frustrated with me if I have to like move around and hold up the phone until it looks good, right?
I feel like, you know, you probably take, you know, like 20 shots to get one good one. Like, because you got to get the right angle. But you know what's made a difference about that is social media. Social media has made us all so much more like critical of ourselves. You know, we never just slam up.
Well, we're all creative directors now.
Exactly. Exactly. And I guess Instagram has made everyone, it's like their own portfolio, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's showing the best of themselves. But I don't take you too seriously. I mean, you know, a picture's a picture. But I think I have a lot of people that want to take a picture as well. So they're like, can we take a picture? And they would take it from like the bottom of my chin or,
you're
you
know,
and they're
man.
Like, they go like, that's my side. And this is the lighting for me. And I'm like, okay, I'll just stay here in the shadow.
You wanted the picture
yeah,
of me.
Yeah, they're like this glowing, radiant, retouched self.
That's
and
funny.
I'm like this dark, shadowed.
It's not about you then.
No,
it's
exactly.
About
it's about them.
This is funny. This brings up, so when I was doing research on you, I have questions before we talk about hair. I want to talk about you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like you put your name into Google and the auto-populated questions are so hilarious. I had to just ask you three because apparently the internet wants to know.
Okay.
They were, is Chris Appleton married? How old is he? How tall is he?
Yeah, I know the married one because it always says Chris Appleton partner. I'm not married. I've never been married. I want to get married. I'm such a romantic. I'm such a big romantic. I believe in, you know, if possible, sharing your life with someone and sharing your experiences, because you know what, this life is full of adventures and it's full of experiences. And I think it's always nice when you can have that person you go home to and talk, or you know, cook dinner together, or even just wake up in the morning, say morning. Like, I think it's nice to have that. So I am quite a romantic, but I'm also realistic that everything takes a lot of work. Relationships take a lot of work, a lot of nurturing.
You should fill in the Google question answer here. So when it drops down, it's like, is he married? This is what they get.
I'm not married, but if there's anyone, no. I think I'd like to get married one day. Okay. I believe in it, for sure. I know a lot of people are very like, oh, marriage is like not happening anymore. But I'd get married, for sure. But the right person, I think I only want to do it once.
As it should be, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then how tall is Chris Appleton?
Chris Appleton is 6'3".
Okay, that's not as tall as I thought.
No, I mean, maybe I'm 6'4". Last time I checked, I was 6'3".
All right.
I've not been measured in a long time.
Okay, let's hope you're not shrinking.
What's the other question?
How old are you?
I'm 36.
Oh, okay. You're willing to answer. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Chris Appleton. I didn't know to Google my age.
Okay. The other thing we do, this is not, Google doesn't want to know this, but Jess and I always want to know this about people. A couple quick questions. Favorite ice cream flavor?
I really like in LA, we have an ice cream place called Salt and Straw, and they have like these really creative, crazy flavors. But if I was just going for like a classic ice cream, I probably, and it sounds a bit weird, but I like coconut.
Coconut? I didn't even know that was a thing. Okay. It's very LA of you.
Yeah, coconut or something with nutty. I like nuttish ice cream, nutty ice cream.
Nuttish ice cream. Okay, pet peeve in any part of your life, whatever it is, what annoys you?
Probably, what do I, oh my God, is this meant to be?
Like, what would your assistant be like? Oh, it's this.
I don't like passive aggressive people. I much prefer if someone, I don't know if it's, I'm English, but I think I'm very to the point, say what I see. I'm more open than I think like my Instagram shows. A lot of people say, oh, from your Instagram, we were like, you seem very serious or unapproachable. But in actual fact, in real life, you're very humble and like you like to have fun. And I don't always show that on my social media because sometimes it's hard to express that, you know. But I think passive aggressive for me is just not a great trait. I'd like to know where I stand. You know, okay. And if it's a no, I want to know it's a no. If it's a yes, then I want to know it's a yes. And if it's something I need to work on, I also want to know that.
It would really help a lot of our photo shoots go a lot faster if everybody abided by that rule.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so who's your celebrity crush?
Celebrity? I don't really have one.
All right, somebody whose hair you want to do that you have not done yet.
I get asked that a lot. And I'm obviously, I've been lucky enough to work with some of the most famous women in the world, you know, and like that kind of ticked a lot of my boxes of who I wanted to work with, like J-Lo and Kim and Ariana and Katy Perry. I think Zendaya's really good. I really like her vibe right now. I just watched that Euphoria and she was doing the Tommy show, and like I love her like big wild hair, and she's like, she likes to do a look, which I like, and she seems to commit to it. So I think she would be really good fun to work with.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, and last thing before we talk about hair, most embarrassing song on your playlist?
God, there's a lot. I would never put my playlist on. You know, some people are like, oh, I'll play my music. You know, honestly,
I'd be too embarrassed.
And I'd be like, oh, because also, you know, when my mom like got an iPhone, she logged into like my account, iTunes or whatever it was, because she didn't have one.
Uh-huh.
So I downloaded music for her. So I kind of had all that as well. So there's
it's your mom's music, right, Chris?
Oh, there's a mixture of everything on there. I mean,
that's what you can say when it's like, that's not my song.
It's random. It's really random. It's not cool.
Do you listen to the girls whose hair you do?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, once you've been on a music video and you've heard it, you know, hundreds of times, you probably can't help but know every word and sing to it. You know, like I did, what did we do recently? Katy Perry's Never Really Over. And it's just one of those, you know, you just catch it, you just keep singing it. And I do. I listen to a lot of the chart stuff. I like fitness music as well. Like I work out a lot. So I like to put a playlist on, like
a
fitness playlist.
Okay, you ready to talk about hair?
Yes, I am.
Let's come to hard questions.
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay, first of all, how did you even get your start in hair? How did you become a hairstylist?
I think my start in hair was really at a young age. I'm in this real reflective time right now. Like a lot of people ask me about my journey, and I guess you forget how long the journey's been, you know, and I've been doing this job probably since I was like 9. I was fascinated by hair.
It wasn't a job at 9.
Well, the interest in hair, should I say, you know, the kind of, The visual side of it. I remember I used to do my mum's hair, like 9 years old, and I'd want to make her look like a Hollywood movie star. Like, I wanted to make her look glamorous because she wasn't. And she was, you know, she had five kids and she was a working mom. And I realized when I did her hair and I'd say, okay, mom, look in the mirror. I realized that she'd stand up and look a bit taller and she would just feel herself for a minute. And I realized like you could make people smile and make people feel good. And I realized then the power of like transformation, how you can make people forget about their, how they feel about themselves or any negative stuff. Or, you know, you had this ability to make people look great, which was good, but also feel amazing. And I got my first job in a salon at the age of 13 because my mom, you know, she knew I loved doing hair. And she said, you know, why don't you get a job doing this? You know, you really like it, a bit of extra money.
Were you just sweeping up strands?
Yeah. Yeah. Sweeping up, picking up.
What was the salon? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was a hair salon in Leicester called Remy's. And it was like the best one. And I remember standing there on my first day and I was watching people come in and then the way they would walk out, you know, with their shoulders back and their hair bouncing. And I remember standing there looking at someone like doing hair. And I remember thinking, this is what I want to do. This is for me. Mm-hmm. I love this. I really felt like I was in my place. And I worked really hard in the salon. And then from the salon, I qualified, you know, kind of got to the top of the salon. Then from that, I wanted to do more like photo shoots. So we started doing photo shoots. And then some of that was like industry magazine, mm-hmm. like covers. We did that. And then I did industry awards, like hairdressing awards, where you put together a photographic session. And I won some awards then. And from that, I went into editorial.
Did you ever do those ones where you go up on stage and you do the hair on stage in front of an audience?
Yeah, I did. Listen, I've done it all. I didn't walk to Hollywood. You know, I really have done every type of hair from fashion week to, you know, TV to, you know, regular clients to color degrees to, you know, Vidal Sassoon education and every type of sort of hair I could learn. I did extensions, wigs, you name it. I was just fascinated by it. I wanted to learn it. I wanted to know that I could do that craft. I never wanted to get a phone call and not be able to do it.
You're like, oh, my finger waves are not up to point today.
Always, exactly. And then I moved to LA 3 years ago and it kind of just, I guess everything I knew and all my knowledge just kind of came together at the right place in the right time. And I worked with the right people and I had the ability to do what I needed to do,
yeah.
You know, and I kind of, I guess I got noticed because I was changing things up, you know, and kind of like not afraid to do that. Because I've always loved that. I've always loved like the power of transformation. And I don't think I'm really like a wavy hair kind of guy. You know,
oh
I mean,
my
I like
God.
To do
can
something
we just,
different.
Please, can I ask my next question? And this is why we're psychic buddies. Mm-hmm. It is, you're not afraid of a look. Like, you don't just do effortless beachy hair. That's what my next question was to you. What do you think that's about that, like, why are you so excited not just making her look like every day? And follow-up question, does that work for real women? Like, do you want us to have an Ariana Grande ponytail or like a Kim super sleek bob? Can we pull that off?
I mean, you know, I think on my Instagram, everyone's really positive. Like, I generally have like a very positive response from the work I do. And I remember recently someone wrote a comment. She said, okay, well, if you've not got money and you've not got wigs and you've not got hair color and you've not got an assistant to help, you've not got this, what hairstyle shall I have? And for a joke, I wrote back a ponytail because she was pretty negative. And like I said, I don't like that passive aggressive stuff. But I mean, honestly, I did this job to make people feel and look good. I did it in a salon. It doesn't matter if I'm doing Mrs. Jones that came in every week. I treated her the same way that I do J-Lo. I wanted to just spend time with them, getting them to know their most, I guess, alter ego or, you know, what they'd always wanted to do or their dream hair. And I try and help them achieve some of that.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that like you have to have a 20-inch ponytail. That was just, that's whoever you're working on. And that's, if you're a pop star, you have a bigger visual vibe maybe that you want to put out there or you're, you know, whereas if you, it doesn't matter if I'm just doing straight hair, I want it to be the straightest and shiniest. Like, it's just my natural thing of wanting to make it to be the best it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for real women, it's just about, I mean, I was just on the Today Show yesterday. I was on the Rachel Ray Show this morning giving real women with real stories makeovers. And they literally feel the same that I do when I do, you know, celebrities. They
what was the most
tears and I mean I'm not saying celebrities.
Did you chop off some hair? Did you get crazy?
Yeah,
what was the biggest transformation you did?
A girl came in, hair down her back.
Oh, she had long hair.
She had very long hair, very thick hair. And she was a widow. She had a whole makeover. And I cut her hair off short into this kind of swishy, sexy bob and she was just crying. She was in tears. You know, she was so ecstatic. And she knew as well, working with me, that she would be have the confidence to do something different. Whereas I think sometimes why people don't change is because they might go to a salon and say, you know, what do you think? And they might go, well, do you want to just trim it? And I never wanted to be that person in the salon. I remember people would be like, just to trim. And I would never say just to trim, because if someone came up to me and went, just to trim, I'd be like, okay, yeah. Whereas if someone sat down with me and went, you know, how do you feel about your hair? And I'm like, well, I like it. You know, how do you feel like as it's grown? Are you enjoying it longer? Did you prefer it when it was shorter? What about when you were blonde? Like, was that something you like? Or, you know, and I might say, well,
you have
you know,
to ask
actually,
questions.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I do want to grow it, but I kind of feel like it doesn't look as cool. And, you know, I just get into a story and, okay, well, what about if we keep the length here, but take it short? You know, I'd kind of want to evolve it. And I'd always want to know that what I was doing was different to the person next to me and more attentive. And I think it wasn't just a job for me. It was really just a passion. And I wanted to just, I mean, I would always have like, there's probably six people in the salon. All my appointments would run late. You know, they'd be everywhere because they weren't booked in for color, but I'd be doing a color or I'd be adding extensions or I'd just be, you know, making them feel good.
Wait, so do you sit down? So Kim comes to your chair and do you have this whole conversation with her? Or she knows more what she wants. Like, you just gave her a bob, right?
No, not at all. I mean, it's always changing and evolving, and it would just be, you know, we'll text each other and I'll say, oh, this is cute. You know, if I see something I like or a vibe or, you know, there's like, being a celebrity is different because, you know, you have a photo shoot or you'll have a red carpet or you'll have a cover of a magazine. And sometimes you're not playing yourself. You're playing a persona, like, you know, if you're doing the cover of a magazine, there might be a whole vibe, you know, or if you're doing a photo shoot, there's usually... they're making you up to be something, you know, or taking it away and stripping it back. There's usually something, you know, they want to create an image,
a look,
you know,
yeah.
a look. And, you know, if it was just them looking regular, I guess people are not going to buy magazines. Well, people want to be shocked.
Yeah. On that note, you're kind of known, or I think you must be, for using wigs, because a lot of the clients that you work with, their hair changes from day to next day. How did that, like, how many wigs do you have, first of all? Because would you come with, like, a whole trunk full of stuff just in case they want a platinum bob?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of suitcases of... No, I mean, I always carry hair extensions, depending on what the client is, and I always have options. But sometimes, I guess, it's like I don't even have options, and then I need to find the option. Like, I did a music video with J-Lo, and the producer and the director wanted all of the hair looks to be black and white. So there was all different wigs and different hair pieces. It was all black and white. So I spent all of the budget on black and white hair.
What does that mean? Like the color black
yeah,
and white?
Black and white hair.
Okay.
Sorry,
for
it
real
was
graphic.
Like a very graphic video.
Okay.
And then Jen turned up and she said, oh, I love these. This is cool. This is cool. This hair look looks good, like the wigs and stuff. And she's like, I don't want to do it in black and white. I want to do it in my color. And so, like, out of nowhere, I had to make things happen in her color.
Did you dye the white ones? What'd you do?
No, I did like, I did color stuff and I had some old pieces that I had to make just happen within, you know, something I'd spent a week on. I had to make it happen in, you know, 20 minutes. And you just visually, you're crafting something. You're like visually figuring out what the look needs to be. So I think that, I guess that's why I do what I do and I can do it because I'm not really afraid of that challenge, you know. I wouldn't ever turn around and say, in fact, I was going to do the Today Show the other day. So we had three makeovers to do and they were like taking me up and I had to do a rehearsal. And then by the time I came down and one of the models didn't want to cut hair, it was just a lot of backwards and forwards. And then they were like, Chris, you're on in 15 minutes. And I hadn't done the last makeover. I hadn't cut a hair.
You hadn't even cut
hadn't
her hair.
Hadn't started because I was doing the other girls and we were backwards and forwards and it was live TV. And I was like, some people possibly would have said like, I can't do it, but I knew I just had to. And I think probably I worked well under pressure. No, I cut all the hair off and I put wax on. I couldn't even style it, but I just like waxed it and just made it look cool. And it was probably one of their favorite looks.
Oh, good.
But,
did
you know,
she
this
like
is
it?
Real women, real transformations. Loved it. Yeah, literally
okay,
loved
good.
It. But it's not all about sitting in a chair for hours. You know, it's... I think it's just about having a slightly different approach to it.
Yeah. So what's your brand of hair? Do you stay loyal to like one type of hair or you'll buy anything and try anything?
Brand of hair. I like working with a lot of different kind of hair types. I use Glam Seamless hair extensions a lot. They're great in terms of quality, in terms of like density and color options. I use Helena wigs in New York. She's good for like wigs.
Yeah. Have you ever made your own wig?
All the time. Yeah. All the time. I mean, wigs, you know, I used to do like cancer patients in the salon and I think realized how I needed to transform a wig or a base of a wig into something that was really like realistic mm-hmm. and something that made people feel good. Because there was always this kind of very wig vibe about a wig. It was very wiggy. Yeah. It was like, oh, they got a wig on, you know, it was like a hat almost. So I, you know, I'd add a root and I'd pluck the hairline. And I think there's always a lot of tweaking to do these wigs. You know, they come, they usually come with way too much hair and they're the wrong color. You know, and it's about kind of reducing the volume, shaping it, making it sort of crafting it and sculpting it to the head so it looks and falls like their own hair would.
Yeah.
Adding details like hairlines and thinning hairlines and adding color to make it look more natural. So wigs
you, like,
really
pluck
are their own
hairs
craft.
Out of a wig?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just with like tweezers.
Cool. Okay, so let's talk about ponytails too. Mm-hmm. What? Why, when I put a ponytail in, do I just look like a girl that just got out of the gym?
Because you...
he had an answer right
listen,
away.
I know exactly right, and I get asked this a lot. It's all placement. It's all about where you place the ponytail. So
I'm going high, like Ariana high.
Yeah, but it's the snatch. It's the way you do it. So for me, when I'm sculpting the hair back, I'll use product to enable me to like manipulate the hair into like a fabric. So it's more like... we call it laid. It's like really clean and snatched in the way it's pulled. So if you just take a regular hairbrush and your hair's fluffy and you just kind of pull it in a ponytail, it's going to look that way. But I will, you know, blow dry the hair in the direction of the ponytail. So all those hairs are going back in that right direction. So it lays nice and close to the head and there's no lumps and bumps. The way I tie it is I tie it quite tight with like a bungee cord so it really holds in place. And I'll just make sure the placement is perfect. So maybe I'll follow the eye line or the cheekbone or the jaw, depending on where the placement needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll usually follow a feature on the place on the face because that makes a big difference to kind of like the dramaticness of
it. Oh, like so if we were doing like eyeliner and you were doing a cat
eye. Flick, you follow
you're
that.
You're doing like that flick on the back.
Yeah, and also just using product to really lay it down and make it clean. You know, a nice clean ponytail. And sometimes if your ponytail looks sad, what I do is I put a second elastic above the base of it. So like an inch higher, I tie a second one and put that down and that gives it more like volume.
Yeah.
And makes it look a bit more dramatic.
You were talking about hairline. I read somewhere that Kim got her hairline lasered and she regrets it.
Oh, really?
Have you seen other people that have gotten their hairline? You know how we all have those baby hairs and they're hard to get them like slicked back?
I think no one has a perfect hairline. I think a lot of people have like thinning hair or they have
what's
like...
the product to get those little babies to lay down?
I usually just use a toothbrush and maybe just some hairspray just to like, I don't necessarily lay them down. I just shape them or like tame them or you just like a little bit of hairspray on a toothbrush is a great trick.
That's what does it? Okay. I got to try that. Okay. So if we pulled out your kit right now or your trunks and trunks of kits that you traveled with, what would surprise me in it? Like what is it? Why is that in a hairstylist kit?
Anything you can imagine.
That you've used in hair and I would be like, huh?
Just like, you know, obviously every size curling iron, flattening iron, so, hair dryer, every size pin.
No weird glue or anything like that?
Glues, wig glues, hair extension glues, scissors, accessories, you know, like accessories would be like, you know, different ropes, different fabrics, you know, if you want to accessorize hair, hoops.
Yeah.
Extensions, brushes, every type of brush, every type of extension.
You're not surprising me. I would expect
a couple of wigs
this.
Would be in there.
What about for you personally? You travel a ton. Like, how do you stay sane? You're bi-coastal practically. You're global.
Yeah.
What do you travel with to keep you, like, comfortable?
I've learned to sleep on planes, which
it's
I've got
a skill.
Good at. Not everyone can sleep. I love a good plane ride because at least then you're up and away, you know. And I don't like short plane journeys because I'm like, oh, the other day I literally had 1 hour sleep because we went to, it was fashion week and I don't normally go out, but I went to the Icons party, the Hoppers Icons party. And it was really good fun. It was nice just to see everyone. I'd been invited.
Did you see Jess? And obviously she's not here because she's sick, but she's the beauty director.
I
there.
Did.
A little redhead in a leopard dress.
No, it would have been nice to see
her. Who are you there with? Someone super famous?
No, I actually just got invited by myself to go. And obviously, I saw a lot of people there that I knew. But I left and then I thought, oh, I'm flying to Miami. It's cool. It's like a 6 hour flight. And so I got to the airport and I only had 1 hour sleep because it was a ridiculous call. Like, I think my flight was at 5 a.m. And I checked in. I said, oh, how long is the flight? And he said it was 1.5 hours or something like that. I said, oh, my God.
I was going to say, it's not 6 hours to Miami from New York.
It's because it's from L.A. I'm used to going from L.A.
Yeah.
And I was so I had to...
you can't do anything.
Oh, I just had to get it. I mean, I had to land and go to work. But it's what you have to do. You have to roll. I try and sleep when I can. I try and take good care of myself in terms of going to the gym. I think that's really important for me to eat well. sleep and eat.
Do you have any like supplements that keep you straight or anything like that?
I'm not into supplements because I'm not a regular, like I would probably take it for a week and then forget or lose it. I mean, I'm still struggling to keep a pair of iPods. I'm on like my 6th one and I keep losing. I don't know where they keep going. I'm just like, there's always so much going on that unless it's like absolutely necessary and I'm seeing a huge difference. I always have this weird thing about supplements as well. I don't want to rely on stuff. Like I think if I have a good healthy diet, I do try and eat well. And if I work out and if I sleep well and drink a lot of water, then I usually feel like I'm pretty good. Okay. But I have took them before in the past. I do sometimes like, you know, like those vitamin drips. Mm-hmm. They're really good if I'm like super run down.
Oh, like
I'm
vitamin fried. B to like pep you up.
I don't know if they work, but in my head it's working. And they usually
placebo.
Sometimes like I've been literally like worked, you know, flight after flight after flight. And it can make you sick after a while. You know what I mean? Like after a while, it really can get you. And obviously, like I don't ever want to be low in energy or motivation because my job is to, you know, make people feel good. So I want to try and keep that good energy.
Yeah.
So sometimes like a little drip is good. But I think food for me is really important. If I get down the sugar thing, if I start eating a lot of sugar, I can eat really bad. And if I start getting into that, it's not good for me because then I drink a lot of coffee and then do you know what? I really feel like they have to get better with, you know, you go outside of Los Angeles and it's actually really hard just to eat well. Like you'll go to, I'll be looking around the airport for something healthy to eat. And even if you find a salad, it's the nastiest, like some dry old lettuce with some nasty chicken and it's usually covered in sauce. And it's like so dull. But I'm like, I think a lot of people would like a healthy option.
Yeah, no, agree.
But it's either like a burger or... I don't know. I struggle with that a little bit.
I pack my own sometimes.
But I'm fussy. I'm fussy about. I've always been fussy about food. I just like clean-ish food.
Got it.
You know.
Okay, let's talk about Color Wow a little bit. So you're the global creative director.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
It just means
you be you.
I use their products and I really like them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't
how
know.
Did you get
it just sounds an impressive title. But
no, how'd you get involved with them?
I think it was an organic process because I used their products anyway. And I think they, you know, noticed me using them and, you know, I really liked them. Gail, who
she's the owner,
is
right?
The owner of Gail Federici. Gail Federici was the man that made John Frieda, John Frieda. So she knows her stuff. She's worked with all the different hairdressers. She also knows her products. And she approached me and we had a conversation. And I think I was possibly the first. I mean, she says I was the first person that she sort of stopped and looked at for a long time. She liked my work. She liked my aesthetic. She liked the way I used product and the way I kind of would layer it on the hair to create like a, you know, like the glass hair or like a fabric texture or, you know, like how I'd use product to manipulate the hair.
Mm-hmm.
So it just felt very organic and we started working together and we just continued, you know, it was working with great products and I think we have a very organic relationship.
Yeah. So the thing that strikes me about that brand, she was always big on it's silicone free. And she's like, it's not bad silicone, but we decided to be silicone free. What's your take on silicone?
So the problem is one of the things that I get regularly asked by women is like my hair is thinner. It's like thinner than it used to be. It's not as full.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel as dense, you know. So people with aging usually find their hair's going thinner. What we've seen is since we started putting silicones and sulfates and all of these kind of conditioning properties into shampoos, with that, alongside that, we've seen an increase in hair loss. So these silicones are not only dulling the hair, but they're also sitting on the scalp and they're kind of preventing hair growth because they're kind of suffocating the hair.
Is this just like
scalp.
Anecdotal? Like as I came up in the last decade, this has been happening. More silicone, more hair loss.
I
can absolutely swear.
The more stuff we put in shampoos... Gail knows because Gail did John Frieda. She did frizzies.
Well, that's
she
like 100%
She put the shit
silicone.
In the product. So she put... I shouldn't say shit.
The stuff.
She put the silicones in the product. She was one of the first because it does make your hair shiny. It does make it glossy. Like, even as a kid, I remember that. But as anything happened, you know, over time, we realized that there was also this increase in hair loss. And when you look at what the silicone was doing to the scalp under a microscope, it's like strangling the hair and the hair can't grow through the follicle.
Like it's getting a clogged up pore.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then it's also weighing the actual hair down and making it go
Dull. Do you find a difference when you switch people over to silicone-free products?
100%. The hair's just shinier and lighter. It bounces and moves more.
Is there like a grow-out, that period where I feel like your hair doesn't look good for a little bit before it like gets back to its normal thing. Every time I try a silicone-free product, feel like my hair's really dry.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because you're used to like putting the silicones in, you've kind of got that false sense of security.
You know when like when people go natural deodorant and they're really smelly for a while until they like get into the natural
phase? I don't know.
Phase?
I've never used natural deodorant. I probably should. But I feel like... No, I usually feel like if I do the Dream Filter, which is a product from Colourwell that you spray on your hair and it removes all the metallic salts and minerals in your hair before you wash it, and then shampoo it in the Colourwell shampoo and conditioner, the hair usually after is so much brighter and more sparkly and the colour's more radiant. So I think there's a method to doing it. Mm-hmm. And obviously you need to kind of get away from the silicone and give it a chance to remove off the hair. When I think of it as food, it's almost like going organic. It's like, you know, it's just not got all the nasty stuff in it, you know.
Yeah, this Dream Filter product though, like what if you have your hair, obviously it's for colored hair products, how do you know it's not going to take out like all my expensive highlights I just put in?
No, it's not just for color, it's for all hair. So if your hair is natural as well, it won't remove the color. It's just designed to remove the metallic salts, the minerals, all of the
like
stuff that's in water.
Like what cities are people... Have you noticed like, when I work in London, like everybody's got that shit in their hair, or when I work in a certain city,
I think all cities, you know, Los Angeles, LA, New York, London, I think all of the cities, you know, you live in these polluted... And there's stuff in the water. There's like metallic salts and...
stuff from the pipes and things.
Yeah. You know, it's not as pure as you'd want it to be. And even, you know, I can especially notice it with blondes, because obviously when someone's white... The color was, I noticed it was changing over a period of time. Even my hair, it starts off white and it slowly gets like dingier and dingier and dingier and like a bit more yellowy and a bit more. It's not
my
just
white
the tones
is getting
removed.
Yellow. Yeah.
It's just the fact that like it's almost like being in a smoky room. It stains the hair. Like these metallic salts and stuff stain the hair. So it's really good to remove it. And you see a visual difference. Not only does it look brighter, it's bouncy. It has lighter because it's not been weighed down by the silicone.
I should try that on my
Yeah, it's really good. We should definitely try it. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about other beauty products you like besides hair stuff.
Okay.
You got nice skin.
No, really?
Are you into skincare products?
Yeah. I mean, I do use a lot. Have you seen my Harper's Bazaar video?
With Jenna.
That was my
what's
hair
your
closet.
Video? I'll allow
Have you
it.
Not seen
Tell
my
me.
Beauty?
Oh my God,
you
I'm sorry. No,
it
I'm sure Jess has. She works at Harper's
I
Bazaar.
I want to Google it now. I want
to
show
to
you.
To remind yourself what products you use?
It's basically...
Everything?
And my whole nighttime routine. So if you guys want to see how I get ready, then go to Harper's Bazaar.
No, okay, tell me. All right, so what's in your bag right now that you packed for New York that you literally can't live without skincare products?
Okay, so I'm 36. I've realized that like you need to look after your skin. I think when I was younger, I used to tan a lot. I'm British, obviously, and I moved to Los Angeles. And I was always that kid that didn't want to use sunscreen because I thought it wouldn't give you a tan. So for kids listening to this, you have to use sunscreen because it does give you a tan and you just damage your skin without it. And I just feel like since I've moved to Los Angeles, I've probably been a lot more aware of what the sun can do. Just living in the sun every day, how much it can really age your skin. I didn't realize. Well, it wasn't until I had a facial or something and I said, what's my skin? And usually they're like, it's good. You've got good skin. And she said, there is some sun damage. And I was like, what? And she said, do you put sunscreen on? I said, when I go on the beach. She said, yeah, but you have to wear it every day.
Yes,
and I said, really? And she said, yeah. So I've started to do that now. And I have noticed the difference for sure.
What sunscreen do you wear?
It's this product that I don't know the name of, but nice. I use the IS Clinical range, which I really like that stuff. So it's like a vitamin C. That I put on my face. I love vitamin C stuff because it makes your skin brighter and look healthier and juicier. And I use their eye cream and their moisturizer. I want to tell you what it is. It's like a moisturizer, but it's actually tinted, which is nice. It gives your skin like a little glow, but it has like a factor 50 in it. I'll find out the name.
Is Clinical? I never know what that
no,
is.
No, it's not that one. But for facial wash, I'll find out because it's on my stories. Why I'm talking now, I'll look at my stories now.
Okay.
For my facial wash, I use actually like a medicated one because I get pimples like in my beards and stuff. And it kind of makes me break out. So I use like a medicated one. But you know what did make a difference is, you know those Sonic brush things?
Like a Clarisonic kind
of brush. That's really helped keeping my skin clean.
I've heard that from other guys because...
And bright as well. Like it brightens my skin.
So you use it not just where your beard is because you got a little
bit
of
scruff. No, I use it all over. But especially in my beard because I think for guys... you get like a build up. But even girls, like wearing makeup and stuff, that stuff sits on your face for ages. It builds up. So it's good to like...
Clear it
off and make it nice and fresh.
Are you still looking for your cleanser?
This is it. No, it's this one. It's called Elta.
Elta MD.
Yeah, Elta MD. Let me see. It's on the
screen. It's like a tinted and sunscreen.
Yeah, UV Daily SPF 40. But it's sheer and lightweight, transparent, zinc oxidized, UVA, UVB protection.
He's reading the box.
I'm literally reading the box.
You're
stories.
Doing a great job.
Well, I don't normally post stuff, but I was just really impressed with it. I also like Drunk Elephant. They do great range. I love, like, you know, like a rose water. Sometimes if I just want to, like, feel chill, if I've had a really crazy day, if I got out of a hot shower and I'll put, like, you know, use eye cream because they tell me to, and I'll use a moisturizer because they tell me to. But I actually really enjoy just spraying the rose water.
For you. It's not for them.
Just makes me feel like I'm, like, peaceful and relaxed. You know, it's like, oh, that's nice.
Okay, then last question about peaceful and relaxing. Fragrance. What fragrance do you wear? Are you a fragrance guy?
Yeah. And I don't remember what it's called. It's my bag. My bag's out there. It's cool. It's like a Japanese brand, and it's from Barneys. Oh. And it's like a black ink, and I can't remember what it's called. It's called New Toro or something.
You're loyal to one fragrance.
It's just become my kind of thing. Yeah, you know, people recognize my scent.
I actually was going to say you have a distinctive scent.
Yeah, I just like it. And God help me, like, when I try and get a new scent, it's so hard. I hate it. Like, because you spray them on you and they smell nice, and then they change.
They absolutely do.
I feel like they change with your, like,
your chemistry.
Chemistry and your chemical, yeah.
For sure.
So I found this one, and it's just really cute. I like it a lot. In fact, my son started using it. I have a daughter and a son. I was my son's actually older. He's 15. 16. And my
daughter's
14.
Oh, no. He's entering cologne worlds?
Well, he came over for the summer, and, like, I noticed in his wash bag he had it. And I think he obviously just liked the way it smelled.
Uh-huh.
And he said, can you buy me some? I said, yeah, of course. I think signature scent is nice. I think it's nice to have a signature scent. Well, some people like to chop and change, which is cute as well. I just like my vibe.
Yeah. You got to teach him the good stuff so he's not, like, using some weird body spray that smells stinky.
I feel like I've always pretty much looked after my skin. Like, I've always moisturized it, which I'm glad. I think it does make a difference.
Yeah.
And you're not working with people like J-Lo and stuff, and I see how amazing
she looks.
Does
she sleep in a hyperbaric chamber? I've heard that from people. Come on, that's true.
Mm-mm. She doesn't. She sleeps in a bed. I've seen the bed. She eats well.
Upkeep.
She drinks a lot of water. She works out. And I think a lot of it is mind as well. She keeps a clear mind. And I think when people... I know this personally. When you carry stress, you can see it in your face.
Mm.
You know, if you're stressed, then I feel that you can see it. And I think equally, like, going back to hair, like, about looking at people and making them feel good and making them look good. Well, I think a big part of making people feel good is, you know, comfort. And, like, if I do a ponytail that's too tight, it doesn't matter how good it looks. If something hurts your head on a red carpet, you can see it in someone's face. If someone's in pain, you can see it in the pictures.
Because
the way you hold yourself is different if you've got that burning pain of a ponytail. And I think generally if someone's sad, I don't know, I think you can just see it, you know? So I think, honestly...
Is she a happy person? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, we all work, we all have stress, we all have pressures. And I think it's actually about, like, clarity. And that's something I've worked on a lot recently as well, is just trying to kind of, like, have more of a clarity, be grateful and thankful for everything that's around me and the opportunities that I've had. And I'm really grateful for this journey I've been on. And sometimes it's overwhelming because I stop and I'm like, oh, wow, this is fun. Like, I've really achieved a lot. When we talk about it, you know, I'm like, oh, wow, that was good and that was fun. But I think sometimes it's going so quick that you almost don't take it in. You know, like, yesterday I was in LA, the day before that was in Miami, and the day before that I was in New York, and tomorrow I leave to Milan, and then I leave to Sweden, then I go back to London, then I fly to New York, and then I go back to LA. Like, the schedule gets crazy. And when you're on that kind of schedule, you're just very much in that moment. Like, I can't really think of next week yet. I've just got to kind of deal with today.
Yeah.
But it's not until you kind of stop and you look back and you go, oh, that was fun. Yeah, that was great. You know,
take a moment and enjoy it, right?
Yeah. And I'm really grateful for everyone I work with, and I'm really grateful for the opportunities that have come along. And, you know, I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for, you know, the people that are in it and the support I get.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it doesn't matter what you do and it doesn't matter who you are. Everyone struggles sometimes. Everyone feels the pressure of life, whether that's, you know, work stress or if it's relationship or if it's just something that's happened in your life. Like, everyone feels it sometimes. And I think it's good that, you know, we use platforms to talk and help people and share that, you know, life is life for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, living in Hollywood, or if you're living in Leicester, where I'm originally from, we all have different struggles and on different levels. And I'm not trying to say some people's problems are bigger than others. Like, I don't want to get into it. Everyone has different experiences. But I do think that, you know, having good people around you, trying to be a good person and be grateful for the things in your life really helps, you know, to try and, you know, make you feel good about things, you know, looking at the good things in life. It's too easy to look at the bad things that go on.
Okay,
I could sit here and say, oh my God, I'm on a plane. But in actual fact, I look back, I said to my assistant before I came in, I rang her because she was talking about the schedule and she's like under a whirlwind. And I said, you know what? We're really, really like lucky to be able to do this, Michelle. And if I'm still saying that at 36, then that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know, I never want to take
it
for granted because I do feel very grateful.
Well, we're grateful for you. Thank you for making time for Fat Mascara. This was awesome.
My pleasure.
So
I hope you guys like enjoyed it. If you guys ever want to know anything more, then please.
Oh, we'll tell you. I'm gonna email you and let you know what everybody said.
Yeah, you can DM me on Instagram.
Okay, that's better. Nobody uses email. Thanks, Chris.
Do people not use email anymore?
You probably don't. Your assistant does.
I tell my agent to text me. She's like, I've emailed you. I was like, can you just send it in a text? The email, I don't know why. There's something about email. I'm like, oh,
it's unimmediate. It's homework.
I can read a long text, but the whole long email situation.
It just feels like homework.
Very corporate.
All right, I'll text you.
Text me. DM
okay.
me.
Okay.
Chris Appleton 1.
Okay.
That's my Instagram.
Thank you.
It's time to raise a wand. Ooh. And I'm going to start.
Amazing intro.
Okay. I really love a hair product. Why is that?
It's time to raise a wand. I will start. If that was our podcast, no one would
Did I lose you guys? Please come back. Okay. So you know the brand IGK?
Of course.
What does it stand for, by the way?
Oh, someone came on and told us this.
Igik. So IGK, yeah, I should know what it stands for. But they have some really nice products. I haven't used one in a little while. But I found this one in the closet and I was like, ooh, this is nice. Okay, I don't love the name. It's called Mistress. Like,
oh, they all have. There's like Trophy Wife, I think.
I think that might be R & Co.
All right. Well, this points out beauty saturation. I can't keep up.
It's this. There's so
Tell
much
me about
going
Mistress.
On.
Tell me about Mistress.
Maybe Trophy Wife is. I'm so sorry, IGK, and I'm so sorry, R & Co. But Mistress is this hair balm. And it comes in a tube and you really just need like, I need just like maybe a nickel sized amount and I have a really thick long hair.
Okay.
And I smush it in my hands and I've been running it through like the ends and it just gives me separation and shine, but doesn't feel like super oily, but also doesn't feel like it has too much hold. And I like that you can use it on dry hair because I don't like I don't blow dry my hair.
I'm going to see my use like a little bit of product on the ends. On
exactly.
Dry hair.
And it's
I
been
love when you
with
talk about a hair product because you so rarely
I
do.
I know. I just feel like a hair is so annoying.
No.
I find it, I'm not good at doing my own hair. So I think it's a category I'm intimidated by.
I get it. But I like that you're showing your vulnerability.
Yes. And it's $29, by the way. But I think you could probably easily have this for a year
for
at
that.
Least.
Okay, nice. I'm going to raise a wand to a shower product. Actually, I'm raising it in Eric's honor because I kid you not, I put this in the shower. I'm just going to say, he comes running out naked like he's still wet. The man does not
That's
know
an
how
image.
He does not know how to use a towel.
Now we're all picturing Eric naked right now.
Lovely. It's a great image. Anyway, he like sometimes like will pat his chest with it and then just like be done drying off. Anyway, he's holding it in his hand as I'm already in bed and he cracks the door and he's like, I raise a wand to Nubian heritage.
Oh my God. With his schmeckle hanging out?
He sort of cracked the door. I didn't see the whole thing. All I could see was the product because I was like, what? And then they like launched into his like, here's why I should raise a wand. I was like, I'll raise a wand to it for you. Fine. So Nubian Heritage makes like a bath and body products and a lot of stuff. And we've been using the lemongrass and tea tree shower gel. I'm telling you a little
is
bit.
Is it because it's minty? He likes it?
I don't know. Lemongrass is a popular scent in our household.
Yeah.
So I think it's part of that. No, the tea tree doesn't give a tingle, if that's what you're thinking. There's a little bit, but not like a menthol or a eucalyptus or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he uses a loofah and he's like, you just put like a nickel and it's so slippery. And then I used it to shave and I was like, he's not wrong. Like this gives a really good lather and the scent is just delightful, which is I think what he was raising.
Oh, Eric, I'm so happy that you found a product you love using. That makes you bound out of the shower.
Is he going to be mad at me? I don't know.
Eric, we love you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social at Fat Mascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With ACAST, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with ACAST. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.